hang up and try again.
This is the Project Black Sky podcast, the official podcast of the Project Black Sky fan page. In each episode, we will delve into Dark Horse's shared world, issue by issue, to better understand who, if not us. Welcome to another episode of Project Black Sky Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Moise, and I'd like to introduce my other co-hosts. We have Dylan in corner number one.
Hello.
And we have Jadobi in the second corner.
Hey.
This episode is for The Occultist, issue one, and our general impressions. What did you think about this issue?
I like The Occultist. I like the way he, like, the character. I do have a problem with some of the art in this. Like, the one that came before this had amazing art, but I feel like the art got a little weird on this one. But overall, the story was still really good, and the characters are really good. Just the art was kind of wonky.
It's funny, because I felt the other way. Like, it's strange enough, I felt that the art improved in this issue than it did the last issue. I really enjoyed many aspects of it, especially that serpentine character.
Oh, I think it was great art. I think comparatively, I just like the style of the first one a lot more than the style of this one.
Jadobi, what did you think?
For me, I actually enjoyed the art in this issue, because I think for me, I just kind of enjoyed the way the colors pop out, especially with this being a supernatural kind of story. But in general, I thought it was pretty fun, especially just seeing and taking on all these what are we calling them, assassins,
mage assassins.
Yeah,
I really did enjoy this issue as well. I liked how it brought you into the mix of things right at the get-go, and then it kind of describes what kind of world we're finding ourselves in, which I always find is nice to find with a comic book. It doesn't really drag it out too long.
The art is very creepy though. Like it does come across as that, like certain creatures, like in the very first page, you see that creepy, like prostitute-y looking lady.
with the tongue and the teeth and
yeah
such.
yeah like that's really creepy looking. Like that would be scary to come at you.
Oh, absolutely. Especially in the dark of the night,
that really caught me by surprise.
Yeah,
I felt that overall it was a really nice expanding of what the one shot gave us. It definitely described a lot more on who the character is and what type of entanglement he's finding himself in. The art was fairly sound and definitely brought a nice somber feeling to it. I'd give it an 81% overall.
I was going to say 80.
I think I was going to say 82.
80 as well, or 82?
Well.
Yep.
Agreed.
I mean, we're all close enough.
Okay, so let's go into the spoiler section of this. We find ourselves in New Hampshire, or New Hampshire it is present time, and we're in the midst of an assault. We have the hit majors that were sent out by Aiden Beck, the crystal hippie. He's all about the crystals and gems coming out of extruding from his limbs. We have the card shark, the snake lady, and the vicious prostitute hovering in the air. all attacking Rob Bailey and Detective. She's a detective, right?
She is a detective. I cannot remember her name
I
right
think her
now.
name is
It's
Menendez, or.
yeah, Menendez, I think you're right.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, Detective Menendez. I just looked at yeah.
And so we find ourselves, like, he's protecting her with this cloak, which is an added, a nice visual feature that we can see that it also acts as a force field, or a shield.
I wonder if that only works towards like magic-based things, or if like a bullet would like not like if he's using a cloak to like absorb like and block the magic. I wonder if like it also block like a bullet or something.
That's a very good point, because could a bullet just take him out? I would assume that the as we learn that the sword protects him, and just so maybe, who knows?
Maybe because like if the sword just heats up the bullet and melts it, maybe. I don't know. I could see
Absolutely.
that happening.
I would pretty much assume that just because he's technically the Grim Reaper, maybe even if he gets shot, maybe there's a little more to it that who knows, he could even heal from it if he actually allows himself to take a bullet.
Well, to give a spoiler on the spoiler, late in a few issues later on, it does create a force field, and stops a certain attack that we will get into later.
Oh, you're right. I forgot about that.
So perhaps that's so it does create a shield for him, and you're right. You know, maybe it will stop the bullet, or even melt the bullet before it even gets to him. So we turn the page and we find ourselves in Los Angeles, and it's now no longer present day. It's 3 days ago, so we're going to find out what brought us to this moment. And now, if we remember back to the previous issue, Aiden Beck in Los Angeles had a group of hit mages in his living room, and they had gone, and now a new woman arrives and saying, you know, oh wait, sorry,
Prostitute.
yeah.
No,
So
but
it's.
she must be his favorite prostitute. That's getting from this.
You're right. I thought she was part of the group earlier, but it.
No, she's just a hooker.
Yep.
Oh, a hooer. And, and so, so he gets her to come in, and she does the usual scan, and because apparently Aiden Beck has body detectors. Either, well, we know he's a wizard, but.
Probably detect weapons mostly. It looks like to me, it looks like just a regular like you would see at the airport kind of thing. So I don't know if it's like a some kind of magic detector, but it looks like just a regular like, do you have a gun on you kind of detector?
As we can see, it doesn't really detect magic too well, because it turns out
No.
that she's not hiding any weapons on her scantily clad body, but she is hiding another body inside that body.
Well, she's not really hiding it. Someone else is hiding it, 'cause
Well, yeah, she is not no longer with us, as we can probably assume. This creature looks like it's
considering
just
her
using.
back ripped open, yeah, I'm gonna guess that she's dead.
And so we have this amazing looking serpentine creature that is basically out to take out Aiden Beck.
Yes, and looks like take control. Probably is what I think happens, correct?
Well, because Aiden Beck was trying to get to the occultist, it looks like he failed, or maybe he was sent from him, just trying to see if why the sword breaker is after Aiden Beck. Maybe there's some sort of signature because of that, because of the occult. Aiden Beck is soon taken care of. This great action shot of the serpent.
Eating
Biting
his
down his
face.
head, eating his, and ripping it right off. I remember when I first read this book and saw this,
Eating his
I seriously
face.
gasped. No, there's definitely a crunch tear going on there.
One way to go out.
Or a schluck. I don't know however you pronounce that. Schluck. Shunk.
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 Apparently, that's the sound of a demon eating somebody's face.
Well, quite vivid though. It's great.
I mean, I do have to laugh at the whole thing just because He's oh gosh, a technomancer. Technomancer.
Yeah, Technomancer, I believe that's what.
Yes,
Yeah,
yes.
because like he really stood no chance. I really could not see him as a real threat in the long run.
No,
Well,
no,
especially
no.
whenever they regenerate themselves, as we can see with Aiden Beck, he does a blast as the serpent calls him out, and it just remends himself. So you're right, he doesn't have a chance.
He's not nearly powerful enough, yeah. And the next page, we get to see him going back into the prostitute's body.
Well, that's a handy skin. Now, I really enjoy the fact that either A, the phone is ringing, or that his hand is twitching as the woman walks away.
Oh, yeah, I don't know which one it is. It must be twitching.
Yeah, it looks like it's twitching. No, it's like the phone's ringing. I think it's ringing.
Is it? I can't remember if he gets a phone call. Does that state?
I don't think so. But maybe something has to do with the phone because we find out that later on. Well, he is a technomancer, correct?
Oh yeah, that is right. We learned that the snake, this what is it called?
The
The
sword breaker.
sword breaker is really does not care for humans at all.
We turn the page and we find ourselves in Plymouth, New Hampshire, back at the campus, and where Rob Bailey is dealing with the hardness of homework. Well,
And
not really homework.
voices, yeah, studying the cult and having voices inside your head.
Which, any type of teenager or young adult would be frustrated by.
Did it ever state what age Rob was?
He's in college, so I'm guessing he's 18, 19.
Somewhere around there. We know that Mendez is older. I'm guessing she's somewhere around in her like late 20s, early 30s.
Yeah, that would be a fair estimate. And Mr. Elder, he's old and dead.
Well, yeah, doesn't matter how age he is anymore, he's dead.
So the Rob is trying to get the answers from the book, and the book is giving him answers, just not to the right questions. Or and it's probably because Rob doesn't know how to ask the right questions, as we find out that Mr. Elder gives him insight on this.
Ghost Mr. Elder.
Yes, dead Mr. Elder sitting on his bed.
I love that the first panel, like we have Mr. Elder, and then behind him is Albert Einstein.
The similarity is really.
Like if you look at them, they're like, oh, okay. Also on that first panel is one of the like it's a small thing that bugs me, but like the occultist's glowing hand, it doesn't give the same vibe as it does like in the last issue.
Maybe it's because there's no halo around it.
Maybe it just it looks like he's got a green glove on, you know. It's
Yeah,
not
it's
like
true.
a magical looking thing, and that's one of the things that bugged me. And it gets better later on. Obviously, his hand actually starts to glow, I believe. No, it looks kind of. I'm looking ahead, and it still looks dull by page 15.
Oh, yeah. If you look down on that same page, though, I like how the glowing of the thumb
Yeah,
is
that's true.
when it touches the book. But yeah, you're right. It'd be nice if it showed more of a glowing aspect to the art.
But again, that's a tiny thing that bugged me. It's not like a huge thing that set off like me not liking this at all.
But at least he could fly.
Yes. So we have Mr. Elder telling him that he needs to basically not so much try to find answers in the book. The book will tell him nothing because all the answers are in him, and he just needs to feel the right answers or feel the right questions, and the book will understand help him understand that. He's interrupted by Cole, his buddy from across the room. I actually like Cole. It seems like a good addition to his circle.
Yeah, it seems like he would be a very cool, like, comic relief kind of character.
And and definitely something to add the element of that Rob Bailey is still just a kid. It has that adolescent camaraderie feel to it. We have Cole telling him that he was able to get the information hacking wise, all that he wanted, the information on
He's looking up for Elder's eBay account to find out how he got the book.
And it turned out that there is a very fishy thing going on because it turns out that that there never was a history for him
Right,
buying the books.
he has zero sales history at all. He's got nothing.
Which I'm guessing that he basically acquired his books another way, and he was only using eBay as a front. So that turned out to be a dead end ex until Detective Melendez showed up.
Lendez, okay. Not Mendez. Lendez.
That makes sense.
I really like this panel when Detective Melendez introduced herself. We see Cole in the background with two
I'm
thumbs
just
up.
giving thumbs up, like, go for it.
Like, I like him. He's definitely that reminder that they're still in college and they're still a bunch of college kids, young
Like I
adults
said,
looking for an older woman.
he seems like if they were to keep his character going, Cole's like in a later series, like he would be the comic relief kind of character.
The grounder as well kind of brings you
Yeah. He's definitely a grounded comic relief kind of character.
an anchor. Like he, for instance,
Yeah.
he's like, "Dude, lighten up! I was just kidding. What's the point of having a gawky ass lab partner who wears a bone glove like he's still grieving Michael Jackson if you can't bust on him?" I like too that he accepts the glowing glove for some reason.
He's just like, I don't care. You wear a glove. Like, that's no big deal. So you can see like his bones in like it's weird. If no one's ever seen this art, it's hard to explain, but it's like a glove, but then you can see like the bone structure of his finger bones on top of the glove.
Only when it glows green. When if it's when it's black, you don't see any bones at all.
Right, that's true, but has it ever, I mean, yeah, that's true. Why would he mention bone glove?
Yeah, it's an interesting conundrum for now.
Oh, maybe there's still bones in the black part too.
So Detective Melendez pays him a visit, and we turn the page, and we're now across town at Racy Delane's Coffee and Music. Where we have the Carmen Sandiego character meeting
Minus
up
the
with
red.
minus the red. Well, she reminds me of a mixture between I said earlier like a mixture between Carmen Sandiego and Michael Jackson, but I changed that now to Carmen Sandiego and Laura Croft.
Indiana
Yes,
Jones, almost.
definitely. Oh.
I would say Carmen Sandiego and Indiana Jones.
You're
Like
right.
she's like a gender bent Indiana Jones.
Perfectly put.
Yep.
So we have well, oh, that's funny because I guess we can call her Indiana, like because last name's Anna. So
Oh yeah.
so
And
anyways,
is her name Jones too? No, that's the other
no,
character. That's the other character.
that
That would have been really like, I would have been like, oh, you gotta be kidding me. But
yeah,
the
that
other
would have been.
character's Pandora Jones. So I read that really quickly and I was like, wait, her name's not Jones, is it?
No, it's a. Eilat Cohen. I don't know how to say that name. Eilat?
Is it? Yeah, that's a Elot. I'm getting Elot.
Eilat? Ile? Yeah, it's we do know it's
Ah.
Israeli,
Yes.
as we find out later on.
I actually really like her character too. Like, I want her to come back more.
I was thinking that when I was reading the later issues that it would be nice to have her as a an accomplice or
A
associate?
companion. Yeah.
What do you call those? Guest spots.
Coworker.
Co-worker.
Associate.
There we go, associate. Give Jadobia a cigar.
And then we also meet Pandora Jones as well.
Yeah, Pandora Jones meets Eilat in the coffee shop where they're gonna basically well, where they're trying to strike a deal with each other.
I don't know if they're trying to strike a deal with each other more, or if they're like trying to come to
Persuade.
some kind of agreement, but neither one wants to agree.
Well, they definitely have history with each other, and we see that there's another character with a strange little tentacle coming out of his eye.
Thought that was a worm.
Gross.
If you look closely, you can see that it looks like a little tiny Octopus.
You're right. From far away, it looks like a worm, but up close, it definitely looks like an octopus.
We know that Pandora Jones and Anna Jones know each other from previous from a previous past. Back at the campus, where Detective Melendez is asking Rob Bailey about the bookstore and what his connection with the bookstore and where he was and
During Elder's murder,
murder.
right?
Yeah. Well, she asked, "Did you know Mr. Elder to have any enemies?" Basically wondering what was going on. How he said that he left the bookstore, but unfortunately, there's a picture of Rob Bailey as the occultist and his face up close, and so she actually sees the connection. So she questions him on this.
Well, it's more of like she sees a flame and then she sees Bailey and wearing a red coat. So, because I don't she think at this point she knows of the occultist yet.
You're absolutely right. So she sees a flame in the alleyway where the crow creatures were taken care of.
Correct.
And then we just see this red cloaked figure standing in the alleyway, and it zooms in, and then we see that the figure's face, clearly male, but not too distinct. It's this shot that really gets me. It's still not a great shot, but if you ask me, Mr. Bailey, that looks a bit like you, she accuses.
She accuses him of fleeing the crime scene.
So that's the next thing you know, his glove lights up again.
It tells him to kill her.
He won't do it. He doesn't want to hurt anybody. But the reason why the book is telling him to kill her is because she knows too much about him and she is therefore a threat.
I really wish he actually. I know part of me really would have loved to see him do that. Do that spell, not on her, but just in general. It
Giant
looks cool.
lightning, a lightning summoning spell, it looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been cool to see.
Well, the picture that we get from it, though, nonetheless, is still really impressive, with her head flung back as a lightning bolt enters her chest.
Yeah, and it's like it's, I love that it's like a different style too, it's like a very like you see the art next to it and it doesn't look like the same art.
Well, it looks like an
Like,
art that you'd find in an old transcript book.
did a different artist draw that? Do we know, or is it the same artist? There's a
Looks like it
little,
might be the same.
yeah. There is no. There's a little initial on the bottom of it.
Other. Oh,
Yeah,
right.
it
ND, it looks
says
like.
ND 2011. Yeah, I didn't notice that at first. I just realized it now. So I don't know who ND is, but apparently he drew it in 2011.
Oh, it might be VD. Because if it's VD, which stands for the artist Victor Drew Jinyu.
Oh, it would be. Oh, it is a VD. Yeah. It's totally a VD.
So it's the same artist.
Yeah, okay. That's weird that he would put
Or good
his little
job.
sign. Then that's really weird that he would put his little signature there then. Maybe he plans on selling that piece separately.
Bailey stops the spell, which is nice that he can still control the, even though the book suggests it, he can still control it. But instead, he erases her mind as her eyes roll back.
Looks like she's gonna pass out, but she
Yeah.
does not. She does not pass out.
I actually like that expression.
It's like a dizzying expression, like, oh, I'm really dizzy. So it makes sense. Like someone to rattle around your brain, I guess you would get very dizzy.
That's the one thing I like about this, the art in this book, is that it kind of tells you through the art what's going on with the story, which is good. It's not just wasted shots.
That's true.
So all of a sudden she's like, I'm coming to, and it's like the weirdest thing. And she says, obviously you weren't there that night. Well, why was I showing you my phone? And he makes up some silly reason about a monkey riding a pig backwards. And she's like, I should be going. And she takes off, but she's still rather confused and foggy and saying weird things. Next thing you know, the person who he cast a love spell suddenly shows up.
Valerie, yeah. His ex-girlfriend.
Well, used to be ex-girlfriend until the book told him what to do.
Love
Yeah.
spell.
Yeah, we have the love spell that we know can't go wrong.
No,
Yeah.
it can't. Love spells always work out in media.
Those Hollywood movies tell me so. instantly she's on him, even though he was just seeing a girl. She was a bit jealous, but he convinced her. And after a long night of sex, he gets a call. Somebody knocking at his door, who turns out to be the detective, Detective Melendez. She's
Really confused.
really confused,
She's...
saying, I'm here to talk about the murder of Jacob Elder." So Rob Bailey explains to her that he already talked to her, and she's like, "Yes, pig monkey. Ghost at the scene, should go arrest him." And she wanders off, even more confused than what she was.
And he kind of regrets, yeah, he kind of regrets doing it, I think, at that
Oh,
point. Like,
yes.
what did you do? Like, you really messed up her brain right there.
It's funny, too, how he's actually talking to his hand like it's a separate person, too.
Oh, he has no glove on at that point. I didn't realize. It's just his hand glowing green.
Now we have him going back out into the day, and he. An interesting shot. He's sort of testing the book right now, because he says that it's always protecting him. So he decides that he's going to jump up off the building and see what happens when he falls. And sure enough, we have a nice little hover shield or a rune shield that he can fly on now.
Like a hover disk.
A hover disc. Yeah. What.
Awesome. Reminds me of a Static Shock. I don't know if you ever watched the cartoon. And I know it was a comic as well. But like he throws that metal disk out, which is it's really cool because I haven't seen that done since then.
It was actually nice to see it. It was the first thing that came to my mind as well.
It's cooler than watching Doctor Strange levitate.
Yeah, I think it works way better than just like your average flying character. It gives the character some like unique look to why he flies, not just, oh, this character can fly. You know, he
True,
needs to
yeah.
fly because of something he has to rely on, you know?
Yep.
The neat thing about the way it's drawn as well is that it tells you where he's flying to, or where more so where he came from, with a line,
Yeah, the little trail.
yeah, green
Yeah.
trail, which is a nice, because I like how art can give you action shots as well. We find ourselves back at Elder's Rare Books. And Pandora Jones and Indiana Anna Jones is looking through the trying to find some sort of glimpse of the spell or the book. And in lingering in the background is a large oaf of a druid who quietly takes out Pandora Jones and bursts out to attack Indiana Anna Jones. And because he says he won't be sharing his wealth with any wenches. As he has Anna Jones under control, he sees that there's a car approaching, which happens to be Detective Melendez, going to arrest a ghost, as she said earlier.
Another example of what bugged me about the art, which I don't want to keep complaining about, but this is also what got me. At the top, very top panel, the proportions seem a little off. Like even at that angle, Anna Jones, her arm seems a little too thin and stubby, and the Olaf guy's head seems far too big.
Well, Olaf is quite large to begin with, but you're right about the arm for sure. I'm thinking that it's because they're trying to get that he's coming from farther away,
Yeah.
and she's up close, which is why she's not in the panel. She's actually standing outside the panel.
It's just a little another little tiny thing that I feel like I want to justify why I like the art from the first issue better.
I mean, like,
Because
for me,
I'm
the way
being
I
ganged
see
up
it.
on here by both of you, just kidding.
It kind of looks like she's kind of turning back, and her arm is kind of 90 degrees, pointing his direction. I
Yeah.
don't know that's how it kind of looks for me.
I don't know, the arm looks wonky. I'm going with Dylan on this, but I think the with the oaf, the large druid, I think he's supposed to be on malproportioned.
That's true. He very well could be. So.
Because if you look at the page prior to that, when he's standing behind Pandora Jones, he's pretty much touching the ceiling. So
He is very tall, yes.
he is very very oafish. And so we have the detective coming in, and I love this shot, by the way, the panel where the druid is standing right behind.
About to smash into And she's commenting that the place smells like pine trees.
Where he's actually holding a pine tree.
She, at this point, she's still a little crazy because she's saying stuff like, "Put your hands up, Mr. Elder, and come out dead," or, and then she stops and goes, "It smells like pine trees." Like, so she's still, her brain's a little rattled still. So I wonder if it actually does. I wonder if it smells like pine trees because of the druid, though.
It definitely smells like pine trees because of the druid. Because if you notice, what he's handling is the
A
trunk of a
tree of
pine
some
tree.
sort, yeah.
Because that's way too large to be any type of branch, I'm guessing. It kind of also adds to the perspective of who of the size of this character as well.
Yeah, I do really love that panel. That was one of my favorite panels of this issue with Mendez standing, Melendez
Melendez, yeah.
standing like gun ready, and behind her is the massive druid standing behind her. I really do like that panel.
I think that would make a good poster.
Agreed.
It would. Because it definitely catches you off guard just because most druids you expect to be good, and then you just see this guy who's brutish and just is towering over everybody.
Yeah, usually you see in media like druid characters are very peaceful kind of thing, living with nature kind of thing, and this druid is definitely not a that kind of druid, so I see where you're coming from there.
You know what they say, there's bad apples in every bunch.
That's true.
This one just happens to be a really big apple. So, turning the page, we find ourselves that in the nick of time, the occultist bashes into him with his hoverboard, telling Melendez to move. I like how you can actually see the tread of his sneakers through the rune disc that he's hovering on.
Yeah, I like that too. It's funny because his costume's not really like a costume. It's just jeans, a t-shirt, and a cloak that he found or a cloak that was transformed, if I remember correctly. It was just a cloak and it transformed into a magician's cloak,
Yes,
if I
exactly. The book
remember
made
correctly.
it so,
Yeah.
yeah.
But like underneath that, he's just wearing his pretty much his normal clothing, like a jeans, and it looks like jeans to me. So
Well, when
I
you're
think
dealing with
it's.
magic, you don't really need some special costume. You just
Yeah.
need what will work.
I would love that cloak, though. It looks really cool.
It looks like a nice cloak. It's something to put together.
I got something similar without the shoulder piece.
Nice, you're like pretty much almost there.
Pretty much.
So he saves the detective, and they scuttle off. Where
She
the
says, yeah, pig, backwards pig, when
yeah,
she
she...
first sees him.
Detective, are you okay? Yeah, backwards pig. And so she's still rattled up, and he's like, hey, she's like, hey, I know that cape. Detective, we really have to move. And he gets her to safety, and the druid has realized that who attacked him is the occultist and who he wants to kill. And Rob Bailey realizes that that's him, that the guy wants to kill him.
Yeah, crap, that's me, you know.
Yeah, crap. And of course the book saves him in the nick of time and beams him into the church across the street, crashes through the both windows, and to no harm, they find themselves where there's happens to be some squatters. The sword protected both of them, and he picks up some books and realizes that they're spell books. And
And he's like, who reads spell books? Like, that's just really random, and turns around and then.
turns out our hit mages are homeless as well. They're squatting an old church. I really love the fact that they're squatting a church of all places as well.
Yeah, it must be like a very abandoned church because there's no seats or anything
Well, I don't even
around.
think there's a oh no, there's a roof for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a roof, but there's just no like seats or places for people to be in a church. So it's definitely like an abandoned church. Maybe it's like the only abandoned building they had around them. But it is very ironic, like these mages who do terrible things are hiding in a church of all places.
Camping via sleeping bag
Yeah.
and a little fire stove for coffee, which we can see is still hot. So it turns out that they're still there, and so are the big snakes that have surrounded themselves around Anna. And we have the hit mages, the flying hooker, She's like, I hope no one takes offense to that, by the way, you know.
I don't think there's actual flying hookers, so if somebody gets offended by a flying hooker. If you're a flying hooker out there and you happen to hear this, we're terribly sorry. You're doing
Terribly sorry.
best at, you're doing the best you can with what you have, I'm sure.
I'd probably pay premium for that if you were to.
Someone's winning at life.
So it turns out that she's wants a little something as well. She wants to actually eat their hearts,
Yeah,
and
she I thought she was a vampire, but I don't know. She's more like
a succubus,
yeah,
I would guess.
succubus. Yeah,
Well, especially if she's a prostitute, it would make more sense for her to be a
that
succubus.
would be. She's barely wearing any clothing. Actually, all those males on this panel, except for on Melendez,
Melendez, yeah.
is they're not wearing much clothing.
Well, one of them is more
Loinclothy. Yeah.
loinclothy. Yeah, that I think that's the Latin term. It says the occultist, whoever the hell you are, and what did you get me into? Yells Detective Melendez, and it says to be continued. Dun dun dun. Overall, I thought it was a great issue. It seemed action-packed.
It definitely explains a lot and then just throws the occultist into this, it's introducing like all these characters more, like Rob, Victoria, Cole, and Anna, and then just like at the end, you just like she he just gets thrown into like this pot of mess that that's a huge fight that's gonna break out. So
Fleshing out the characters,
yeah.
yeah. And I guess it's the I actually like the way that they did this, where the first page is the fight at the very end, so you know that you're going to get yourself into a mess of an action. But and then in the middle, it's all exposition.
Yeah, which is really cool, I think. The one shot had a lot of action, and this one has a lot more, I think, character development. I can't remember if you guys mentioned this last episode before I was here, but I want more occultists. I am sad by the lack of occultists as of late. We had a one shot and two miniseries, and haven't had anything since. Yeah, and Tim Seeley is an amazing writer. I tweeted him last month, I think, and asked him, "Are we going to see any more cultists?" And he said, "Possibly." And that was as vague of an answer as you could possibly get. But
Oh, we have to see how he ties into the Project
yeah,
Black Sky conspiracy.
you get kind of a universe feel because of something that happens, which we'll get into later.
JW, what did you feel about what did you think about this overall?
I like this one. I mean, normally it would take some time to be introduced to all the craziness that this world really has in store. And right off the bat, we have all of these mage assassins. There's no explanation of where they came from. You just know that they exist and they're out for him. They're out for their own greed. And I don't know, it's fun because you just know that it's only going to get a whole lot worse before it gets any better for Rob, be it as the occultist or in his life as a college student.
Another tiny problem is this really you really need to read the issue zero
Yes.
to understand what's happening, unfortunately. I would have liked to have seen if it was possible to just kind of summarize like they did a paragraph at the beginning summarizing it, but like
On
explain
the front
a little
cover.
bit more. Yeah, which I'm glad they do. I don't think DC doesn't do it, or they didn't do it. Marvel did that in 2011. I think they started doing that, so it's nice to see other comic book companies kind of picking it up, because it's nice to have a little summary beforehand. I just realized the cover for this issue is Jenny Fearson, who does some of the later covers for issues of Ghost, and I really love her work. I was just looking at it and I was like, that looks oddly familiar, and I realized that Jen Fearson does the cover for this first Occultist miniseries. If you look at the cover, the double spread cover,
I have a different cover, by the way.
you do have a different cover.
I
Oh.
have the 25 years of Dark Horse cover.
Oh, that's nice. I have a different cover. But in my cover by Jenny Ferguson, it shows all the characters kind of from the book, sort of. It shows like the druid, the crystal guy, the technomancer. It shows Pandora, but it shows two different characters we didn't see in this book. It shows like some kind of blonde gypsy chick and a magician. And I wonder if those were intended to be in the book and then they changed it. Because like this, it's weird that they would put all the characters, all the characters from the book on the cover, and then just these two extra characters, which,
Oh, are they on the back of the cover?
yeah, in the back of the cover.
Oh, it's a wraparound. Oh.
Yeah, it's a wraparound cover. It's really nice. I love it, but it's weird. But anyways,
So
that's
you
just
said
my.
that the gypsy character? Well, I wonder if that's the snake charmer.
If it is the snake charmer, she looks way different, and it's kind of she's got like stitching on her waist, like she had like been cut in half or something. Like
Yeah, it's weird.
she
I can
looks like a
see it.
magician, yeah, a magician's assistant maybe that got cut in half. Oh, and there's a magician right next to her, so maybe they're like together.
Yeah, that's what I'm assuming.
I love it. I love the cover. I don't know what the 25th anniversary one. Why is it 25th anniversary Dark Horse? Is that
25th anniversary of Dark Horse, because they're 86, and this came out in 2010 or 2011.
I think it was 2011. Yeah.
So 86 to 2011, so it's 25 years Dark Horse. And it actually, I'll put up a picture on the podcast too, or and on the fan page as well.
Okay.
Yeah, if you can actually, if you had a picture of
Yeah, I'll try to find one and then I'll post it there as well so you can see it.
that'd be great. And also, I just want to go into the very last page, that it actually looks like one of those Fruit Pocket commercials, but it's not. It's actually in
I
the.
don't have that.
Well, you don't have this.
No.
What do you have? So on the there's the Cult Hits, which is the letter page. If you turn the page, there's an extra page where it says Zomba Jungle Occultist.
I don't see that.
None of you have this, eh?
Nope.
Interesting. So
Yeah, mine just goes from the letter page to horsepower, which is like an editorial column.
oh, I see it. That's the next page. See, I have this and also Criminal Macabre ad where it says "Ain't no rest for the wicked," and you don't have that. Okay, cool.
No.
I'll post.
I might have to pick up the cover that you have so I could see that. So it's like a little old Hostess advertisement like they used to have
No,
in there.
well, it the art looks like that, and I guess what I should say is that the art looks more like an old creepy comic book back in the
Oh,
'60s.
okay.
So the art's very, very simplistic, but it's still really nicely done. And it has all the dots on it as well for the color. And I can just, it's one page, so I can read it very quickly. So to your for your entertainment. The narrator that says, "They say fear is a way of life in the jungles of dark and dangerous South America, but the fear that grips these villagers threatens to strangle the very life from their lungs. For the beings that plague them surely are part of a no natural order on planet Earth. They are demons from some far off, dank, fetid jungle hell." Now, the picture that we show is a bunch of Amazonian native people where they're just wearing loincloths and feather crowns. What looks like demon centaurs, half lion, half men with horns and spears chasing after these people. One native says, "Go, my son, leave us to die. You know who to find to avenge us." The narrator goes on, "The boy does know, for there are whispers of a being in the mountains with powers so as hellish as the ones possessed by the savage demon. Please, only your legendary book and abilities to speak to the dead will save my people. Help us," the jungle child pleads. And a green hand looking at a book says, "You may cease your pleading, warm-fleshed one." And there's a green-bodied woman holding up a spear that looks like it's part of a spine, with snakes coming out of her head, standing amongst spiders and skulls, and a jungle cat says, "No more shall the outworlders feast on your family's flesh. They will feel the sword of Zomba, jungle occultist."
Was this going to be like a different story? that was attached to the sword?
Well, what I'm guessing, what I could only assume, like it shows the Zumba jungle cultist holding the book, right? And so that we know there's a book involved, there's the jungle cultist involved, and what I can assume, this is the history of another sword, as Rob Bailey is a sword.
How do you spell Zumba, jungle
Zumba?
cultist? Yeah.
Zumba, Zomba. Zomba.
Oh, MBA. Huh. That sounds like a character that I heard about recently, but I guess not. I thought it
Well,
was.
I did put up a picture on the Facebook page. That's probably why
Okay.
that's ringing the bell.
That's probably why that's ringing a bell too. I agree.
That means the 25-year special edition issue one has that extra little comic in there.
Oh, that's funny. I wonder if did they ever put these in trade paperback? I can't.
The cultists, yes, they did.
I wonder if they put that in the trade paperback.